Welcome to Two Songs, One Couple, where a geeky metalhead husband swaps songs
with his nerdy country girl wife. Grab a drink, get comfy, and join us on our musical chat. Okay, hello.
Hello, sir.
So Sam now has a signature dish, this signature breakfast dish that we had for breakfast this morning.
Are we really going to talk about this?
It's happening.
We're going to have to share my recipe, though.
Okay, leave out the one key secret that makes your recipe special.
It's basically a spam taco with a side of avocado.
It's delicious, too.
It is. It's super delicious.
It's a great way to start the morning. It's not super heavy. Like with spam rice and eggs, usually
it's a lot.
3 to 4 slices of spam, ton of rice, couple eggs.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
It's delicious, but it's heavy.
Yeah.
So I've never had a Hot Pocket, but I imagine this is similar to what that would taste like. Never had a Hot Pocket.
What?
I'm scared of them.
Why? Well, they can burn your mouth because they're super hot. That's, you know, it's in the name. But they're good.
Well, if those are still in our freezer a year from now, I'll eat them.
Okay, a year from now. Gotcha. All right, so what's going on?
We're celebrating, I think, one of both of our favorite bands, Queen!
Yay! And in particular, Freddie Mercury, because it's his birthday.
Ooh, happy birthday. Happy birthday,
Freddie.
Happy, happy.
So Freddie Mercury, he was born on September 5th, and he was born Farouk Bulsara. So Freddie Mercury is not his real name. That's his stage name.
Such a great name, though. In terms of like rock singer name, like Freddie Mercury is a pretty darn good name.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would also work for a porn star.
Yes. Yeah, we're celebrating him because, it's his birthday and he was not born Freddie Mercury. He's British, but ethnically Indian, particular Parsis or Parsis.
Oh, cool.
It's an ethno-religious group of the Indian subcontinent. They descended from Persians. Huh. Who migrated to India a long time ago.
Nice.
But yeah. How did you discover Queen?
You know, I remember knowing about them growing up. Like, I knew their name.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody knows, like, Bohemian Rhapsody and We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like it was kind of everywhere when we were growing up. Like, those two anthems, right? Like, sport events and, like, you know, those two songs are, like, used over and over in, like, movies, sporting events, all this crap.
Uh-huh.
TV shows, mm-hmm. NFL series, right? But I didn't really dig into them until later in my life. I remember I got a live album, probably on one of our trips where I was, like, stuck in a record store for 3 hours with you. And I was like, well, shit, this is $5, so I might as well get it.
I remember you buying it. Yeah. I remember this, too.
I remember I got a live album, and then I listened to it, and I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, mm-hmm. this band is much more than those two songs.
Yeah.
And a lot more my speed than those songs. Like, I didn't expect to like them as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a whole lot of, like, folkiness and like classical throwback components to their music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you layer on top of that Freddie Mercury's badass vocal talent and you're like right in my alley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's flipping awesome. Super technically talented. Like he has a huge range. He's got great like dynamics to him. He's capable of emoting so much in his songs and his lyrics that it just really connected with me. There's just some ballads on there, some rock ballads, some like folky, I want to say pirate rock
mm-hmm.
on that live album that I was like, yeah, I'm a Queen fan now.
Nice.
So I think that's how I got into them.
Okay.
How about you?
So I remember back in middle school, I was in a science class and I was partnered up with a dude named Ed.
How do you remember this shit?
This is a good memory.
This is like pivotal in your life for you to remember your like your seventh grade lab partner.
Yeah. He's a chill dude. We did a science project together. I can't remember what it was exactly, but I remember we designed a hovercraft.
Oh, nice.
And this hovercraft was designed to go over like lava and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we even designed a very green part where our shit would be recycled into the machine to help fuel it.
Oh, like literal shit.
Yeah, like anytime we took a shit. And
fucking young boys.
And I remember someone raised their hands like, excuse me, what if you're constipated? And then my lab partner, bless his heart, just immediately said, we'll eat prunes. He's so quick on his feet. Slightly unrelated to Queen, but same lab partner. We did a song that went with it. It was a unit heavily based on rocks and geology. And he said, what if we did something like We Will Rock You, but we changed the lyrics to what we need it to be? Ah. I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. And then I'm like, how are we going to do this? So what I did was recorded just a drum part of just the boom, boom clap on the drums. Just like looped that over and over. And then we sang over it.
Wait,
changed all the lyrics to what we needed it to be.
So back up. By recording it, you mean like taking a tape?
Yeah.
Sticking
a tape, like a boombox. Hit record, hit play the drums for like, I don't know, a minute.
That's hilarious.
He had two tapes. He had one of that. And then at the end of it, he stopped. And then he played the other tape, which was the end of the actual We Will Rock You with the guitar solo. Uh-huh. Just to wrap things up.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun doing those projects with them.
Ingenious. And you guys were. Oh, I sounded like Yoda there.
Ingenious you are. But maybe about a year later, Wayne's World came out. One of the biggest, most pivotal scenes that everyone remembers is the scene in the car.
Yep.
One of the dudes is super high or drunk. They give him a little cup to hurl in.
Yeah.
They drive to their place and they play Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
It becomes a huge iconic scene. There's a huge resurgence in Queen and their popularity. And so, you know, they've stuck into my brain via pop culture. Like you said, they were in movies and shit. You know, I didn't really dive into them until I made my prog rock journey. I kind of went backwards, right? Because Queen influenced a ton of prog rock bands.
Totally. Would you call them prog rock, though, themselves?
I wouldn't call them prog, but they do incorporate elements of it.
True. I guess, like, Bohemian Rhapsody is, that kind of is a prog song.
There's, like, no chorus. It's, like, one huge piece, and there's movements to it, so.
Very epic. Long as shit.
Yeah. For the time, it was long, considered long. For the radio, it's considered an eternity. And so, I went in a really roundabout way to find them. That's when I really started listening. That's my journey on how I discovered Queen. So, let's get into Queen, and let's get into Freddie Mercury. Queen are a British rock band. They were formed in London in 1970. The band was originally comprised of Freddie Mercury on vocals, Brian May on guitar, Roger Taylor on drums, and John Deacon on bass. Freddie Mercury, born Farouk Bulsara on September 5th, 1946.
Happy birthday!
And passed away November 24th, 1991.
Rest in peace.
It blew my mind, anyway, when I learned that he was Indian. I didn't know.
Yeah, me too. I think, you know, that was done on purpose.
Yeah, I think renaming himself Freddie Mercury.
Yep.
Also the fact that he has a lighter skin tone.
Yeah, I think, you know, back at that time, it was very difficult to gain any type of significant stardom, especially in, you know, rock music.
And especially as a frontman.
Yeah. Very, very little diversity.
Yeah.
It was probably a smart move on his part, and it's an awesome name.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of sad that it had to be hidden for so long. But now we can celebrate it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he was diagnosed with AIDS in 1987. It's a pretty tragic end to his life, but he did go out with a bang. The band played, what was it, Live Aid? At least that's the good news, but yeah, he was taken too early.
Yeah.
You know, huge talent, amazing vocalist and songwriter.
Yeah.
And speaking of which...
Dislocate your spine if you don't sign, he says, I'll have you see it double.
What song did you choose, sir?
So the song I chose is Flick of the Wrist by Queen, of course. It's from the album Sheer Heart Attack, and that album came out in November 1974. All right, so what did you think of the song?
It's a good one. I've never actually heard this song before. It was not on that live album that I listened to over and over again.
I chose a deep cut for ya.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me a bit of like Elton John with the piano in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then it like kind of segued into like this Pink Floydish type of sound with the mm-hmm. guitar and the vocals, and then into like a little bit of Zeppelin-esque.
Mm-hmm.
It has some of those core Queen things that are unique to them, at least at that time, right? So like it has the stacked harmonies, it has like that solid rock beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really good. And you know, it was an interesting topic too that
yeah.
you know, not a lot of songs are on, but maybe in that day and age, like in the 70s, maybe more popular topic than now. I think it's about capitalism kind of sucking you dry, big bad money-making rich guy getting you to sign a contract that's not in your favor.
Yeah, that's it right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so I kind of assumed that that was like a statement on capitalism at large, that yeah. it's all about oh, like yeah, making be. Money for the big man, and you know, you're signing your hard work and yeah. to make them richer.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, I think is an interesting topic that has relevance today.
Yeah, I think it's going to have, it's probably going to always have relevance.
Right. I think the one thing that I maybe didn't like, but I understand, was just it ended really abruptly, because I think it was supposed to lead into another song on the album. And so I get it. But if you're just trying to listen to this one song, you're kind of like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's the rest?
It just dies.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
why did you choose it?
Now, this is not my favorite Queen album, but it's probably my second favorite. This is written by Freddie Mercury. It just kind of fades out.
It doesn't even fade. It like...
It just ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just ends. Because, like you said, it is supposed to lead into Lily of the Valley. And then prior to this, Tenement Funster leads into this song. So these three songs fade into, just like bleed into each other. You would love Lily of the Valley because yeah. you love ballads.
I think I've heard that one.
Yeah. So Tenement Funster, Flick of the Wrist, Lily of the Valley. They weren't written that way. They were written as individual songs.
Yeah.
But I guess when they got into mixing and they started doing the track listing, they're like, oh, hey, these three songs kind of fit. They cut it in such a way that all three can just be played back to back to back. And it's like one suite.
It's pretty awesome.
So it's like, it's prog that way.
Yeah. And this is like the taint of the song.
Yeah, it's like the meat. It's like the, yeah, exactly, the taint.
It's in the middle.
So the Tenement Funster is the Franks and Beans. Flick of the Wrist is the taint. And Lily of the Valley is the bung.
Why does it gotta be male anatomy?
So Tenement Funster is a vagine.
Vulva.
Well, let's just say the Tenement Funster is genitalia.
Okay.
Flick of the Wrist is perineum. Lily of the Valley, brown eye. So it's never meant to be written as a trilogy, but I mean, sometimes when you're writing songs, you're in a headspace.
Yeah.
Even three different songs are going to be similar in a way.
Totally. I could see that.
And I chose it because besides Bohemian Rhapsody, this has a very prog rock feel to it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Very grandiose in moments. And like all the bands you mentioned, Pink Floyd, Zeppelin. I also thought of the Beatles, specifically George Harrison.
Yeah.
Because he likes descending chord lines,
yep.
chord progressions, I should say. And, you know, like you said, this song has all the band's signatures, the amazing harmonies, the stacked harmonies. And yeah, that's primarily why I chose it. And the lyrical content, you're right on the money. It's essentially written about all the con men they've seen along the way, whether it be managers, record execs, what have you, using others for money, bleeding other people for money.
I didn't make that connection, but yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah, it isn't about anyone in particular, so says Freddie Mercury, but it could be about a previous manager of theirs.
I'm sure.
Over and over again, prog rock bands refer to them, cover them, what have you. I mean, Dream Theater and Between the Buried and Me are not alone. Just seeing that within the scene pushed me to really listen to Queen.
Yeah.
And of course, when we watched Bohemian Rhapsody,
that
pushed me even more to listen to them even more.
Yeah.
And Sheer Heart Attack is definitely a good album. One of my favorites.
That movie is fantastic. If you have not watched it, if you're like the 1% that has not watched it yet, go and check it out. Such a good movie.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. But
Rami Malek's performance is great.
Yes.
You know, Sacha Baron Cohen was in the running to play Freddie Mercury.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He might have been able to do...
He would have fit. Like,
a good job too, yeah.
I think he has sort of the look. Like, he's also tall and skinny. Rami Malek is a little shorter, I think. But he's a little more, quote-unquote, ethnic than Sacha Baron Cohen. Sacha Baron Cohen
different
is...
different ethnicity. Sacha Baron Cohen is very Jewish.
Yeah, he's Jewish. The and Rami Malek is Egyptian.
Yes. So a little bit closer to, you know, maybe the Persian connection than, say, well, I Israel? Guess. But you can be Jewish and not Israeli.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's pretty much it for Flick of the Wrist.
That was a rabbit hole.
So out of five taints, what would you rate Flick of the Wrist?
I'm going to rank it 4 out of 5. And it's 4.5 out of 5.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's
you
like...
used a decimal.
But I'm...
Let's go.
No, it's really 4 out of 5. Because I don't do decimal.
4.5 out of 5. So it's basically 5.
Basically. I mean, fuck. Like, it's hard for me to give Queen a bad score on any song, really.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few Queen songs that I don't like. This is, you know, a great example of their rockier, faster side, mm-hmm. right? I can't give it a 5 because... I like me some ballads. So I have to reserve the 5 for those lovely, lovely ballads that Queen produces.
Yeah, I should have given you Lily of the Valley. You probably would have given that a 5.
Yeah, probably.
All right, 4.5 out of 5. That's fair.
4 out of 5.
Yeah, 4.5. Cool. All right, let's move on.
Love of my life, you've hurt me. You've broken my heart, and now you leave me. Love of my life, can't you see? Bring it back, don't take it away from me, because you don't know what it means to me.
What did you choose for me?
So, I gave you one of my all-time favorite songs, so you better be nice. The song is Love of My Life. It's from the 1975 A Night at the Opera album, and it was written by the Freddie Mercury.
Of course.
What'd you think?
It's a nice tune. It's a nice tune.
That's all I get.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it has a nice piano intro. Has some tasty acoustic guitar licks into this nice harp, like these harp glissandos. Blum, blum, blum. Which I learned was played by Brian May, the guitarist. But it's mostly a piano vocal tune. There's bass in there.
Uh-huh.
Some guitar licks. Definitely a ballad. Definitely something you would be into. Yeah, it's definitely you.
Nobody is shocked by this selection.
Absolutely nobody. A lot of these piano parts remind me of the same piano vocal parts in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, a little bit.
We bring this song up a lot, but it's their signature tune, and a lot of their shit sounds like that song.
Bohemian Rhapsody was also on the same album, right? A Night at the Opera?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of makes sense that they're somewhat similar.
Yeah, and first glance at the lyrics, I just kind of thought, okay, sappy ass, love of my life sort of thing. But it is a little more complex and nuanced than that. It's about... the love of your life also hurting you.
It's gut-wrenching,
heartbreak,
isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of heartbreak and loss. This is duality, right? Of someone you love so much can hurt you so bad, but you still love them.
Yeah.
The lyrics convey that despite all the hurt, this person still loves the other. He is still willing to give that person a chance and will still love him.
Mm-hmm.
It's sweet, but there's also a pain.
Yeah, it's gut-wrenching.
I can hear it in the song, too. Musically, I can hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it is a love song, but also... conveys a lot of sadness in the sound of the music.
Yeah. It's got like some of those high notes mixed in with some descending minor notes or minor chords.
Yeah. Why? Well.
Why the song?
This shocks nobody. Why did you choose this song? Gotta ask.
Yeah, because, you know, it's beautiful and it's going back to that live album. They only played a snippet of this song and yet it stuck with me for forever, for years.
You know, that's why I hate about medleys.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with what a medley is, it's generally when a band plays small snippets of their songs, maybe 30 seconds to a minute, something like that, and they piece them together back to back. So in the span it takes to play one song, let's say maybe 5-ish minutes, they cram in 5 snippets of songs in there instead.
Right.
Which drives me nuts. Hate it.
But it's a good way to kind of like try to satisfy a lot of people in a live concert, right?
It satisfies nobody.
Well, without that, I wouldn't have heard this song. If my choice is between a medley that only has a minute of this song versus a whole other song that I don't, and I never hear this song, even a part of it, then I'm going to choose the medley.
If you were at a Queen concert and they just played like 30 seconds of it, wouldn't you be like, ugh? Blue balls.
No, well, yeah, there's a little bit of blue balls there. But the way that they used this song in that live album and in that concert was, I think it was really amazing. So much so that I didn't really have blue balls. And I'm pretty sensitive to blue balls. At least musical blue balls.
Like, blue boobs.
Blue boobs.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. So the way that this song was played on the live album, it was a chance for the whole audience to participate and kind of sing along.
So he didn't even sing the whole thing, did he?
He didn't sing the whole thing. Well, he didn't even play the whole thing.
It's like one of those, oh, you sing it now.
Yeah. But it was beautiful. You know, and it's one of those moments in the concert where, you know, everybody was like pulling out their lighters and like really.
What? They weren't pulling out their cell phones?
No, that didn't exist back then.
Losers.
Like, I only heard a small portion of the song, and yet it really, really tugged at my heartstrings, and I am a sucker for an emotional connection. So anytime a song can do that, boom, I'm in. I'm all on board. And so when I was trying to choose a song for this, I was torn between this song and more of like a folky, faster-paced song.
Which one was it?
I was torn between this song, Fat Bottom Girls, and Dreamer's Ball. Going back to why I chose this song.
Yeah. Sorry.
Just the fact that, like, you know, not even a minute of this song stuck so much in my brain years later, I think really speaks to the genius of the song. It's got a great melody. It's pretty complex melody. It's not very simple.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to it, it sounds simple. There's not a lot to parse out. It's just a vocalist, a piano, and then every now and then a harp and a guitar.
Yeah.
It appears simple, but really, it's quite complex. And if you try to sing with it, you're kind of like, wow, he's got a range on him, right?
He sure does.
And in that range, he's just able to emote so much that you're just like, fuck yeah, Freddie, I know what you are talking about. I know that pain. Even if you like haven't had that exact same experience, you can still feel his pain.
Mm-hmm.
In the music, in the lyrics, and all of it. And so I love it when a song can make you feel something and like make you feel something that you're not currently feeling. Yeah, I love this song. Don't rip it to shreds. Be nice.
It's a fine tune, but you're into ballads and I'm not into ballads as much in general. It tracks, but it's a fine tune. But like in that little snippet, did you get all the lyrical content you needed? Was it enough? Did he sing enough to for you to understand that it's about heartbreak and loss and also the love? I don't know how long the snippet is.
Like the very first couple of lines of the song, I think, says it all to you, right?
Okay.
It's love of my life, you've hurt me. You've broken my heart and now you desert me. Love of my life, can't you see? bring it back. Don't take it away from me, right? So that right there just tells you, okay, he really, really loves this person and this person has kind of hurt him and he wants it back.
Gotcha. Right?
He still wants that love back. So I think the snippet didn't have the second verse from what I remember.
Uh-huh.
So what would you rank this song out of 5 broken hearts?
I would say 4 out of 5 broken hearts.
4 out of 5.
Yeah.
4.25.
No, 4.
4.3.
It's 4.
4.4.
It's 4.
Four.
It's a filler song before I get to Bohemian Rhapsody.
How dare you? How dare
you? It's just
you?
A weird interruption before the good song.
You fucking take that back. You take that back.
No, it's a good tune. I understand why you like it. And it's not my first choice from Queen, especially not my first choice from A Night at the Opera.
Well, that would be Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Yeah, of course. But A Night at the Opera is a great album. Fantastic album. That and Sheer Heart Attack, my two favorites. But anyway, Love of My Life, good tune, but it's a little too ballady for my tastes. 4 out of 5 broken hearts. Yeah, can we just take one more moment to talk about Freddie Mercury?
Of course.
And his genius and great songwriter. Great front man. He had this energy.
Yes.
And presence. It's natural too. You can't teach someone. I mean, you can teach someone the moves, but I've seen a ton of vocalists that try to do vocalist things, especially when they're not singing.
Yeah.
Some of them come off genuine and some of them come off staged.
Yeah.
Or awkward.
Yeah.
And Freddie Mercury is one of those that comes off natural.
Mm-hmm.
It comes off genuine. And he never looked awkward on stage, whether or not he felt that way.
Here's the thing. if you've never been the front person of a band, it's really fucking hard.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
And it's really, really hard during those in-between moments.
Yeah. For prog rock bands, they just leave the stage.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck this. And I'm going to take a nap.
Right? It's one of those things where you really have to have a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. Freddie Mercury in particular, you get the sense that that was the one place where he felt really comfortable in his skin.
Yeah.
It's a little bit ironic because I think some people, and I think Freddie might have been one of those people, feel really, really comfortable on stage, yeah. but that doesn't translate into real life.
Yeah.
In some instances, it's a lot easier to kind of have that confidence and hide when you are right up front in front of 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Versus in front of one person.
Yeah. It's odd how that works. Yeah. He's kind of like playing a character, playing a role. It's an outlet that he can kind of do that.
Yeah.
That's the place for it. I mean, yeah. being that way in front of like a family dinner is not going to.
Right.
It's weird, but performing makes sense.
It's not something that everybody can do. You know, at the best case scenario, if you're like in a very, very small concert hall, you have 50 people staring at you.
Yeah.
And when you're singing, that's kind of easy to handle because you're trying to tell them a story. But when the guitar is taking over and it's a solo time and you are not a part of that... Holy shit, what do you do? What do I do with my hands? What do I do with my body? People are still looking at me, but I'm not playing anything. Yeah. My part of the story is over. Mm-hmm. You see that struggle play differently on different singers. Freddie Mercury hit it really, really well.
Yeah.
Other singers find it super awkward, and maybe they go and try and dance next to the guitarist.
Yeah, and they leave. They pretend to play the air guitar next to them.
They do some awkward shit because that's how they're feeling.
Yeah.
And some just leave the stage because also it's one of those things where you know people are looking at you and expecting something from you, but it's not your time to shine.
Yeah.
How do you handle that where you're respecting the person who should be in the spotlight during that time, but knowing that people are still looking to you? To like kind of entertain them.
Yeah.
So Freddie just had that amazing talent to do that somewhat effortlessly. And he was one of the best people at entertaining.
Hell yeah.
It's amazing.
But also his vocal talent. Last thing we'll talk about here. He's one of the rare ones that has a fast vibrato and it's not obnoxious.
Very true.
I don't know what it is in particular about it that doesn't grate on my ears.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things that he does is this. He works with dynamics where he goes from very soft to very loud. And it's very quick too. Usually it's like gradual crescendo, but he does it very quickly in a very unique way. I don't know many other vocalists that do that in the same way.
Yeah. Usually people just pull away from the mic.
Yeah.
He's flipping fantastic. So he's got a 4-octave range. And this is why I think a lot of his songs, including Love in My Life, are so, how do I say it? It's like hidden complexity, right? It appears super simple, but when you try and sing it, you're like, what the fuck? Why can't I sing this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He hides his bridge so well. Like you don't hear where his bridge is. Mm-hmm. Especially like when he does those slides that you were talking about. There's no cracking.
Yeah.
There's no...
It's so smooth.
Right? There's no change in his tone, but he just went through a bridge and you didn't even know.
Yeah.
And so to have that ability, he like tricks the fuck out of you in these songs because it sounds so easy. He can do it. I can do it. And then you try and you're like, fuck, this sounds terrible.
Uh-huh. You're so right. His vocal styling is very unique. His technical ability. And also, nobody sounds like him. Nobody.
Yeah.
He sounds unique.
Yeah.
Everyone who covers Queen songs don't even come close to what he sounds like. You can be technically as good as him, maybe better, but at the end of the day, Freddie Mercury sounds like Freddie Mercury.
Yep.
And it's pretty bold of Queen to tour with someone that's not Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Like Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's an amazing vocalist, but he's not Freddie Mercury.
He's not. And, you know, I have mixed feelings on that. It's not the same band.
It isn't.
Right?
It isn't.
Maybe I would have liked it a little bit better if they changed their name, but then you lose of the popularity that you built over the years, right?
No, so, yeah, I understand.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, right? It makes you sad and it makes you remember Freddie while still enjoying the band and its music.
Yeah, precisely. There's definitely two sides. And
yeah.
Alice in Chains, they have continued without Lane Staley. And I still dig them. I still like what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not the same, but I still really like it.
Yeah.
A lot of bands have been doing this. And mm-hmm. on the one hand, I get it. I would love to see Pink Floyd. I would love to see Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't be the same. Like Pink Floyd, the main dudes are still alive, but they're fighting so bad. Like David Gilmour and Roger Waters have toured separately on their own and have done Pink Floyd things, but I feel it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin, they just basically called it a day a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, Freddie Mercury is an amazing talent.
Yes.
We weren't really around to see this band live. If we had a time machine, this would probably be one of the bands I'd want to see. It'd be this band, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Frank Zappa, Beatles. I would love to see all those bands.
I would like to see most of them.
Yeah. Oh, you don't like the Beatles? How dare you?
Zappa would blow my mind, I think.
Oh my God, Zappa would be so amazing. Anyway, Freddie Mercury, you know, as short of a time he had on this earth, he's made a huge impact. So many bands reference Queen. So many bands listen to them. So many bands are influenced by them. And there's just so many fans that resonate with their music. Yeah, it can't be stated enough how big of a influence and presence Freddie Mercury was.
Yeah, rest in power.
Rest in power, dude. Thank you for listening to Two Songs, One Couple.
If you like what you hear and you want more, find us on
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts,
twosongsonecouple.com,
Facebook,
Twitter,
and Instagram.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
So like I said,
go on, circling back to the topic at
like
hand.
I said, as per my email. Bohemian Rhapsody, Bohemian Rhapsody.